Hello, and today I've got Karini Baker here to talk to me, and she works in professional development. And today we're going to talk a little bit about curriculum design and the sort of issues that surround that. Hello, Karini.
Hello, Peter.
Can I start with curriculum design itself? I mean, when you're designing a curriculum, what sort of things, what sort of aspects do you think you have to take into consideration?
Well, I suppose if I were to design a course from scratch, I would have to think about, you know, does this course exist out there? Is there another course out there like it? So that's the first thing.
Mm.
You have to do your research.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is, who would do the course? You know, are there enough people? Is it commercially viable? Is it a course where enough people will be interested in it and you can ultimately make some money off of it,
right.
I suppose,
mm-hmm.
from a capitalist point of view. Other things to take into account on maybe a smaller scale, what kind of training needs to happen for the teachers? You know, how are there qualified teachers out there who are ready to do this course,
mm-hmm.
or do they need to go and do some training? And with the course itself, what level is
right.
the course going to be at? You know, and will that level influence what you cover in the course, or
mm.
what you cover in the course will influence that level? So you need to think about the angle that you use.
Okay. Do you think it's important to take into consideration the outcomes of the course? Would you start when you're designing a curriculum? Would you start with the outcomes that you want, and then work backwards, as it were? Or
yeah. I think so. I think I would. I think I would start with, well, I suppose I would start with motivation, why someone would do this course. And I suppose they would do that course to achieve certain outcomes,
mm.
to fulfill certain outcomes. So I would think what I want these people to learn and why they need to learn this. And then I'd work backwards from there
mm.
and put everything together.
And do you think it's possible to have a curriculum that, in a sense, doesn't have these outcomes that are, for example, you know, that an examining body will lay down?
I think every course will have outcomes. They
mm.
might not be measurable outcomes,
right.
but there will be outcomes, even if the outcome is just for the learners to have spent every Tuesday evening
mm.
in class
mm.
doing teamwork,
yeah.
doing activities. I mean, I think perhaps, maybe that's not as much an outcome as an objective, but there's always something to be gained from it, but
yeah.
if it's measurable or not, that's different.
Okay, so you've got you're designing your curriculum. What about methods of learning and teaching and assessment? What sort of things would you want to put in your curriculum in terms of, you know, the methods of learning and teaching?
I think it would depend on the level of the course, but generally speaking, I would say that a mixed forms of assessment
mm.
would appeal to me, because I think that would appeal to the various learners. If it were just assignment after assignment after
mm.
assignment, some might be strong at that, others might not. So, you know, written assignments, professional discussions,
right.
posters, presentations,
mm.
practical, reflection, maybe
so
even
assignment
exam.
Isn't the only way of assessing.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. No, because
mm.
you know, written assignment will not show me that someone is able to cut hair well.
Mm. And learning and teaching in terms of the way, you know, for example, you would teach in the class, is it important, do you think, for the teacher to have the main role? Or
I think the teacher needs to organise the course and be the facilitator, but
mm.
I think any kind of teaching or training needs to be communicative, dynamic, more student-centred than teacher-led.
Mm.
So a lot of student activity. I mean, I think flip learning would be something quite interesting to
right.
do, you know, nowadays. So a lot of pre-session tasks and then
right.
practical activities during the session,
mm.
or, you know, the teacher can open up, ask any questions if anything was unclear, but do a lot of practical stuff in the lesson. I think with technology, this is something we need to take
mm.
advantage of. So a lot more flip learning.
Yeah, interesting. I was going to go on to resources and what your views on flip learning, things like that, and blended learning. And e-teaching, I know that you're very much interested in using e-teaching in your classes, and
yeah.
if you design a curriculum that it would include that.
Absolutely.
Why do you think that's important? And
I think it's...
What sort of resources do you use?
Well, I mean, first of all, I just think it's unavoidable nowadays. I think technology is just everywhere, and it doesn't make sense for us not to use it.
Mm.
You know, we can use apps on our phones. There are different things that we can use. So I think in class, things that I tend to use, of course, video, which, you know, loads of people use, but activities that are interactive, so people can play, I suppose, games,
mm.
You know, whilst learning. Mm. But then, because I've created it digitally, there's a record of it that students can access when they're done.
Mm.
And if it's made available through a Blend Space or Moodle or something like that, then I think it's great. And it also means, from the teacher's point of view, everything is ready to go for you to use next year.
And in terms of, so with your curriculum, in terms of inclusivity,
mm-hmm.
for the students, how do you encompass that? How do you
I think,
help with that?
I think variety is the key. So if you go back to the methods of assessment, I think, you know, if you're using different kinds of methods of assessment in a way that is inclusive, because you're not just going down one road, but several, and you know, you give different people different chances to excel, I suppose, show what they're good at. I think the course would need to have some sort of diagnostic element, or, you know, some placement element, so that you can find out what the needs are within that group.
Mm. And sort of similarly, in terms of supporting learners in your curriculum,
mm-hmm.
In what ways would that be? I suppose, in a sense, it's connected very much with inclusivity, isn't it?
Yeah, I think every course. Well, I mean, it depends what.
I mean, on the CertEd, there's certainly a number of tutorials that are used, aren't there, through the CertEd course, so that if students need more help with something, generally you're there, aren't you, to sit down with them individually.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good practice, you know, and if you have a course that is very well organized, it means from the outset everybody knows what they need to achieve by the end of the course. It gives ample time for you to have, as you say, tutorials with your learners, and find out where they need extra support, where they need help, and you know, if something is very difficult for a learner, you know, how can we help them and support them in that course? Yeah. So I suppose that sometimes there needs to be some flexibility with assessment and teaching and learning methods. You know, you have to, I think, you know, things like indicative word count, that's quite helpful, because it doesn't mean that it has to be that way.
Mm.
It's just a suggestion.
Mm.
So perhaps methods of assessment could depend on the cohort that you have. You know, you could have assessment guidelines, you could have assessment criteria, but methods of assessment could be different depending on the cohort.
Just finally, in terms of progression routes, things. So on the CertEd course, these guys are on the CertEd so that they can teach, or they can get a professional qualification.
Yeah.
Do you think that's important to have a progression route in a curriculum?
I think people need to know where they can go when the course is done. So, you know, okay, I've done this course, I've put in all my work, what can I do now? You know, people need to know why they've done the course, and presumably it's to, you know, maybe to get another job, to get a promotion, to be able to do another course.
Of course, you run the ADIP, don't you, in
yes, English, exactly.
And so that runs on from for example, the CertEd.
Yeah, and we do have some people in who are doing CertEd who are now on the additional diploma. So yeah, I do think, of course, I think progression is very important. People need to know the direction that they can go in.
Karini.
Peter.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
That was brilliant. Thanks.
Pleasure. Thank you.